640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's 5 o'clock. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know in Wisconsin. The construction worker who was injured while working at Lambeau Field last week has died. Mavid Construction says in a press release that the worker was critically injured on Thursday and died at the hospital on Saturday. The Packers and Mavid Construction are not releasing the worker's name until the investigation is over, but the company says his father and brother also work for Mavid. A spokesperson says the employee was an organ donor. The future of higher education in Wisconsin is a hot topic of discussion lately and a state Senate committee hearing today. State lawmakers want to cut funding for diversity efforts in the University of Wisconsin system. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss dismisses diversity, equity, and inclusion as, quote, the left's new religion. But UW System President Jay Rothman says DEI is actually important for retaining students and supplying Wisconsin's workforce with college graduates.
And that's, you know, historically underrepresented groups, that's veterans, that's disabled students, that's first-generation students, that's people of different ideologies, political or otherwise, that's different religions. We have to create that inclusive environment so that we can recruit them, so that they can feel that they belong in our universities, so that they stay and they graduate. Because at the end of the day, that's what's important to our state.
Rothman on Upfront on Channel 12 in Milwaukee. The shared revenue bill already banned state money for DEI at the local government level. Governor Evers says he'll veto the entire state budget bill if lawmakers strip funding for UW System DEI. Today is Juneteenth. Pete Schwabe reports.
Juneteenth is a federal holiday. Banks, the post office, and stock markets are closed today. But Wisconsin is not one of the 14 states which have given Juneteenth holiday status. Meanwhile, Governor Evers says Juneteenth is a day of celebration and of reckoning.
We also recognize and acknowledge the work that we have left to do to truly realize goals for a more equitable and just state.
Juneteenth marks the day in 1865 that the last enslaved black people in the United States learned of their freedom under the Emancipation Proclamation. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
It's been a week since searchers started looking for 13-year-old James Leblonsky in the woods near Baraboo. The Sauk County Sheriff says James ran away from home with one of his father's guns and a survival book last weekend. The sheriff's office says they found two campsites, but so far, no sign of James. And the weather's getting warm enough to kill more fish than normal. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding people out on the water to report fish kills to their local DNR fish biologist. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. News time is 5:03.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. Two separate shootings within a 90-minute time frame last night resulted in the deaths of two men in Milwaukee. The first shooting took place at around 9 last night, and no arrests have been made at this point. This past weekend, the rides weren't the only danger at Six Flags. Brittany Merlot has the story.
A man was arrested at Six Flags Great America in Gurnee over the weekend for allegedly attempting to bring a loaded gun in a baby stroller. An X-ray screening revealed a handgun in a diaper bag. The man, who is on parole in Louisiana, has been charged with felon in possession of a firearm and aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A 16-year-old was in the car when a Racine man was pulled over on I-94 over the weekend. That teenage passenger enhanced an OWI charge after troopers pulled over 48-year-old Andre Lewis on I-94 near Highway 11 Saturday. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers are back on top. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers signed veteran outfielder Raimel Tapia last week from the Red Sox. And during yesterday's game, it looked like he had just hit a grand slam to center field.
First ball swinging, a drive into center field. On the run is Bay, still going back. And it is caught at the wall. In to score, Adamas.
Brian Anderson on Bally Sports Wisconsin. The Brewers coming back to beat the Pirates yesterday 5-2. After giving up two runs in the third, Brewers starting pitcher Freddy Peralta settled in.
I was a little stronger the last couple starts, but today I was feeling good.
Peralta went on to strike out 9. He retired the final 12 batters he faced. Craig Counsell.
I was really proud of Freddy. I obviously struggled through the inning, threw a lot of pitches through that inning, and he gave the home run, and then you know, then he just put up, then he put up zeros, and that's, you know, it's 2-0. It's early in the game. We got a lot of outs still, and he put up a bunch of shutout innings, and you know, we had some shots or, you know, some men on third situations we didn't cash in on early, but eventually put a big inning together.
Milwaukee's Luis Urias on the come-from-behind win at home in front of 38,000 fans.
Yeah, you know, we do our best. You know, we try to be present and play, well, win every play. And coming from behind, I mean, it always feels amazing.
The Brewers completing a three-game sweep.
Yeah, it was a great series. I think everybody played very well defensively, and our pitching staff, they did great. You know, I haven't seen the standing, to be honest, but we're back in first, and I feel pretty good beating the Pirates, that they've been playing very good baseball. And, you know, facing the D-backs, I think it's going to be fun.
The Brewers are back in first place, a half game ahead of the Reds, 2.5 above the Pirates. They open a three-game series tonight against the Diamondbacks. Corbin Burns against Arizona's Merrill Kelly, game time 7:10. That's sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Monday edition, the Juneteenth edition, the Happier Happy Hour. Dom, some troubling news. CBS Channel 58 out of Milwaukee. There is a large police presence near MLK and Chambers in Milwaukee Monday afternoon. They do have a crew at the scene. And reporter AJ Bayatpour is reporting breaking huge police presence at MLK and Chambers outside the Juneteenth teen zone. Multiple witnesses tell me there's been a shooting with multiple victims. That is the breaking news in the last 9 minutes out of Milwaukee on Twitter. AJ Bayatpour reporting there, and CBS 58 News. So, another day, another shooting. 844-967-2789. But, Dom, we anticipated starting the hour talking about the fact that the former president of the United States, what, perhaps should have been charged, should have been investigated, but the Washington Post has an exclusive report. The FBI resisted opening a probe into Trump's role in January 6th for more than a year, Dom.
Wow.
More than a year. And what was the rationale? I mean, this is a very comprehensive article. And as I understand this, and I'm going some based on the fact that you've read it all and I've only skimmed parts, but from your explanation, Dom, this does not seem to be some effort to protect Trump per se. This is more of a concern about the perception that the former president being investigated... Well, this is what, Dom? How would you characterize this? Where do we go from here?
The reporting, again, a fantastic piece at the Washington Post. Carol Lenning, Aaron Davis reporting. We'll get to it. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs or kind of introduce this, lay it out for you. We're not going to get through this whole piece, but we'll get the gist out. Hours after he was sworn in as Attorney General, Merrick Garland and his deputies gathered in a wood panel conference room in the Justice Department for a private briefing on the investigation he had promised to make his highest priority, bringing to justice those responsible for the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. In the 2 months since the siege, federal agents had conducted 709 searches, charged 278 rioters, and identified 885 likely suspects, said Michael Sherwin, then acting U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, ticking through a slide presentation. Garland and some of his deputies nodded approvingly at the stats, and the new attorney general called the progress remarkable, according to people in the room, Sherwin's office, with the help of the FBI, was responsible for prosecuting all crimes stemming from the January 6th attack. He had made headlines the day after by refusing to rule out the possibility that President Donald Trump himself could be culpable. Quote, "We are looking at all actors, not only the people who went into the building," Sherwin said in response to a reporter's question about Trump. "If the evidence fits the elements of a crime, they are going to be charged." But according to a copy of the briefing document, absent from Sherwin's 11-page presentation to Garland on March 11th, was any reference to Trump or his advisors, those who did not go to the Capitol riot but orchestrated events that led to it. A Washington Post investigation found that more than a year would pass before prosecutors and FBI agents jointly embarked on a formal probe of actions directed from the White House to try to steal the election. Even then, the FBI stopped short of identifying the former president as a focus of that investigation. And here's the deal. A wariness about appearing partisan, institutional caution, and clashes over how much evidence was sufficient to investigate the actions of Trump and those around him all contributed to the slow pace. Garland and the attorney, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, charted a cautious course aimed at restoring public trust in the department, while some prosecutors below them chafed, feeling top officials were shying away from looking at evidence of potential crimes by Trump and those close to him, the Post found, Grudy.
In November, this one, I'm starting to steam under my collar a little bit, the appearance of partisanship means that they're going to be, what? They're not going to do their job? Because they didn't want to appear partisan, but let me read.
But they're
going to
be called anyway. That's the whole point of being nonpartisan. You do the job.
80% of Republicans believe that this prosecution, this Jack Smith indictment, 37 of them against Donald Trump, they think it's political. Thank God you used such caution, Garland.
Yeah, good thing they waited over a year because, you know, that perception was never there then, right?
In November, after Trump announced he was again running for president, making him a potential 2024 rival to President Biden, Garland appointed special counsel Jack Smith to take over the investigation into Trump's attempt to overturn the 2020 election. On June 8th, in a separate investigation that also turned over to the special counsel, Smith secured a grand jury indictment against the former president for mishandling classified documents after leaving office. Trump was charged with 31 counts of violating a part of the Espionage Act, as well as 6 counts arising from alleged efforts to mislead federal investigators. Hell, if you read the Mueller report, there's a little accusation there, or 10.
It's kind of like what he does all the time.
The effort to investigate Trump over classified records had its own obstacles, including FBI agents who resisted raiding the former president's home. But the discovery of top secret documents in Trump's possession triggered an urgent national security investigation that laid out a well-defined legal path for prosecutors, compared with unprecedented task of building a case against Trump for trying to steal the election. Whether a decision about Trump's culpability for January 6th could have come any earlier is unclear. It could have, should have. Sorry, had to clear my throat there a bit. The delays in examining that question began before Garland, before Garland was even confirmed. Sherwin, senior Justice Department officials, and Paul Abate, the top deputy to FBI Director Christopher Wray, quashed a plan by prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office to directly investigate Trump associates for any links to the riot, deeming it premature, according to 5 individuals familiar with the decision. Instead, they insisted on the methodical approach, focusing first on writers and going up the ladder. Well, it's Jacob's ladder, man. It is a long-ass ladder. The strategy was embraced by Garland, Monaco, and Wray. They remained committed to it, even as evidence emerged of an organized, weeks-long effort by Trump and his advisors before January 6th to pressure state leaders. They didn't know that? We knew it. Everybody knew it. Read the paper. Justice officials and Vice President Mike Pence to block the certification of Biden's victory. In the weeks before the January 6th, Trump supporters boasted publicly that they had submitted fake electors on his behalf. But the Justice Department declined to investigate the matter in February of 2021, the Post found. The department did not actively probe the effort for nearly a year, and the FBI did not open an investigation of the Elector scheme until April of 22, about 15 months after the attack. Did I mention I'm getting a little hot under the collar now? The Justice Department's painstaking approach to investigating Trump can be traced to Garland's desire to turn the page from missteps, bruising attacks, and allegations of partisanship in the department's recent investigations of both Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election and Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. Inside Justice, however, some have complained that the Attorney General's determination to steer clear of any claims of political motive has chilled efforts to investigate the former president. You couldn't use the T word. I think that's the Trump word, right, Dom? Said one former justice official briefed on the prosecutor's discussions. Troubling, Dom. Troubling. The overly cautious Department of Justice has delayed the investigation of the former president, his, what, co-conspirators, they might rightly be called? The inside the Beltway crew. Not the Proud Boys, not the goofballs that rushed the Capitol, but the people that planned it and incited it and funded it. They waited a year so they wouldn't appear political, and now a year and a half later, they finally get around to charging on the freaking Mar-a-Lago. The guy's got war plans in his desk drawer, and still 80% plus of Republicans think that this is a political prosecution.
We waited. In an interview with the Post, Matthew Graves, who succeeded Sherwin as the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, cautioned against drawing conclusions about the government's approach while work is ongoing. He noted that 23 of 29 affiliates and members of the Oath Keeper charged in connection with the attack had been convicted so far, several for seditious conspiracy, the first such convictions since 2009. A quote from Graves. I hear everybody kind of wants everything to go faster.
Yes. Said.
But I think if you kind of look at this in historical perspective, what the department has been able to achieve, I think when people get some distance from it, it will stand as something unprecedented. Still, there were consequences to moving at a slower pace. For many months after the attack, prosecutors did not interview White House aides or other key witnesses, according to authorities and attorneys, or some of those who have since been contacted by the special counsel. In the meantime, in that time, communications were put at risk of being lost or deleted, and memories left to fade. Oh, fading memories.
Everybody kept asking, where the hell is the FBI?
Well, we were asking it. And where were the attorney generals from the states? Josh Call, our pal here from Wisconsin. Apparently, if your explanation to us was to say that, well, the feds are on it. Well, the feds weren't on it, man. So Dana Nessel, the AG from Michigan, maybe she got a heads up that the feds weren't on it. So she got a little more rambunctious about it. I'd like to see some of that energy coming out of the AG's office here in Wisconsin.
Well, it was June of 22, actually, and that would be after the actual investigation started, sometime early in 22, you know, like a year and a half after the crimes were committed. Well, the DOJ by then, you know, not to defend Josh Call in this unnecessarily, but that's when he told me it was multi-jurisdictional and a DOJ problem. And Ishoh Zahn, the district attorney of Dane County, told me last weekend at the DPW, not at La Crosse, you know, the good one up in Green Bay I was at, told me it actually would be up to the DAs, not the AG.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your local business benefit from reaching thousands of radio listeners in the Metro Milwaukee area? Show your American pride by sponsoring a radio promo celebrating Independence Day, listing city firework displays, and honoring military veterans. If you're a key decision maker for your company and would like to learn more, email your name and number to lindsay@info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us. Happy Independence Day.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 56 tonight under clear skies. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 83 tomorrow. Bright sunshine expected. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 60. Dry with seasonal temperatures Wednesday and Thursday, and highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 81 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views. In
my eyes, in this boat, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank you for listening to the greatest radio show ever. Make sure you check out the new and shiny, super cool app, civicmedia.us. Go to your app store, find Civic Media, of course, on the phones right now, 844-967-2789.
Tom, the New York Sun... or New York The Sun reporting, Jack Smith now expected to pull the trigger and charge Trump with January 6 offenses. And the source of that information, former Attorney General Bill Barr. Here's what Barr is saying. General Barr defends, you know, former Attorney General Barr defends the Mar-a-Lago documents indictment and predicts the special counsel will also indict Trump for crimes related to the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, with special counsel Jack Smith's 37-count indictment relating to a trove of classified documents stored in a Mar-a-Lago bathroom, right, Dom? Stored at Mar-a-Lago presents its own distinct legal peril to President Trump. It also appears to have brought into focus the stakes of another criminal investigation, this one with respect to the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. Now, Dom, I keep telling you, this is the investigation I care the most about. And that's why I'm steaming under the collar when I find out the highest levels. Lisa Monaco, the former Attorney General, Merrick Garland, they were dragging their feet. They were making every effort not to appear partisan by not doing their jobs in a timely or effective fashion. And now, years later, they're getting around to it. But here's what Bill Barr says. That, at least, was the impression thrown off by the comments of Attorney General Barr made over the weekend to CBS's Robert Costa, where America's former top law enforcement official mused that charges for January 6th will be a hard case to make, but that nevertheless he expects Mr. Smith will pull the trigger on an indictment this summer. I've never wanted something Bill Barr said to be more true than that, Tom. Those comments came in an interview where Mr. Barr called his old boss a fundamentally flawed person who engages in reckless conduct that leads to situations, calamitous situations like this, which are very disruptive and hurt any political cause he is associated with. He also called Mr. Trump's behavior indefensible and compared him to a 9-year-old kid.
Oh, now you do it. Now you do it, Barr. Now you get around to it. Couldn't do it to his face.
Well, he didn't do it to his face.
A little bit here from The Sun, another alumnus of the Trump administration.
Let's not forget Barr resigned just before Christmas, just before the January 6th actually came to fruition, after Trump had lost the election, and when they were plotting to steal the election back, that's when Bill Barr said, I'm outie.
Yeah, there's great leadership. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. Let the lunatics run the asylum. John Kelly, a one-time chief of staff, recently opined that Trump was scared crapless by Mr. Smith's indictment, which levels charges that could result in decades in prison. Trump fired back on his Truthy Social. John Kelly pretended to be a tough guy, but was actually weak and ineffective, born with a very small brain. He said Kelly was a mummy who sat in his office and stared at the ceiling. Barr's prediction of an indictment related to January 6th, Mr. Smith's second purview is to investigate, quote, whether any person or entity unlawfully interfered with the transfer of power following the 2020 presidential election or the certification of the Electoral College vote, suggests Palm Beach could be the beginning, not the end, of Trump's legal travails.
844-967-2789. I hate to do it. CJ, defend away, man. Tell me why Donald Trump ain't guilty of anything ever.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking
Hello,
my
CJ.
Call. We got a lot of great candidates on the Republican side, so we're having a
not for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin.
We're having debates. Now, someone's got to tell this president that the queen has already died. God save the queen. I mean, have you seen 70% of Americans don't want Biden to run? At what point does your party realize that this guy has lost it? He's done. And you.
Well, that's why there's a primary season, and that's why there's a general election, CJ. Let's talk about your guy for a minute. How are you feeling right now? When people say that the Biden department has weaponized, quote unquote, the FBI, you know, those hippie liberals over at the FBI, you know, Department of Justice, those guys are just so woke they can't get anything done. They sat on their hands, CJ, because they were concerned that people like you would think they were acting politically by following the facts and following the information and investigating what was in open air right at the time. So what is your opinion? Should the Department of Justice investigated Trump earlier, CJ?
Oh, yeah, they haven't tried to investigate him long enough already. Well, they sure did. They buried the 1023 form and hid that. Christopher Wray, it is politicized. And
who's Christopher Wray? I mean, that's a Trump appointee, right, CJ?
Comer.
Right. Right, CJ? Christopher Wray is a holdover from Donald Trump, correct?
He's a Trump appointee. So you're saying he's politicized against the guy that appointed him?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he turned over.
Well, you know, they brought Brennan in. They brought Clapper in. They've had to testify because the 51 liars that
everybody lying,
you know, and now Adam Pencil Neck Shift is going to be booted out of Congress. We can only
no. Come Republicans of conscience would not take that up. Like 20 Republicans voted against that, CJ. And the fact that, you know, 180 Republicans voted for it just tells me what a craven party that you claim.
Everything you need to know. Here's the deal. In my opinion, looking at this, yes, an abundance of caution. Okay, took a year and a half. Okay, now Republicans, say it with me. This is not a weaponized FBI. If anything, they were overly cautious. If anything, they were too concerned about acting like a weaponized FBI. So you can just put that one aside. And if Jack Smith comes through and this trial gets up and down prior to the election, well, timing was perfect and all is forgiven. 844-967-2789. Coming back with your calls.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Cruz on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Coast Guard is searching for a missing 5-person submersible, Rear Admiral John Mauger.
The location of the search is approximately 900 miles east of Cape Cod in a water depth of roughly 13,000 feet.
The sub brings tourists to the wreck of the Titanic. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Chinese President Xi Jinping today. CBS's Margaret Brennan is traveling with Blinken.
There was an agreement to try to restart direct flights between the two countries to try to boost student exchange programs, and there'll be more meetings.
It's been miserable in some southern states today, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams.
We're going to see basically damaging winds and hail as we head throughout the day, a lot of lightning and heavy rain as well. In other parts of the south, we're dealing with the extreme and excessive heat. Our temperature is well above 100 degrees.
Heavy rain could fall over the next week from the Gulf Coast to Virginia. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in southeast Wisconsin. Cudahy police lifted a shelter-in-place order this morning after officers thought they were being shot at. It was the sound of glass breaking and suspicious activity that led to their perception of being under fire. A home was identified, but no evidence of a crime was discovered. Last night, two men were fatally shot in separate incidents within a span of 90 minutes of each other in Milwaukee. The first shooting happened at about 9. Milwaukee police are currently investigating, and no arrests have been made as of yet. Racine held theirs over the weekend. Milwaukee had theirs today. And Juneteenth events will continue through the week in some communities.
We welcome the commemoration of Juneteenth as a day of truthful reflection to honor the progress we have made, acknowledge how far we still have to go, and renew our commitment to building a shared community vision.
Racine Mayor Corey Mason made a Juneteenth proclamation at the most recent city council meeting. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk. Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Insure yourself a brighter future with help from insurance agent Stephanie Morales. Stephanie's passion is educating families on affordable, sufficient coverage, along with using your insurance for emergencies to major purchases while you're live. Book a free insurance consultation with Stephanie Morales today at stephaniemorales.net or call 414-791-0124. That's 414-791-0124. Call today to begin that brighter future.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And stops my mind from wandering.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the big Monday Happier Happy Hour, the Juneteenth edition. And people are asking, do you guys really read the text? I do now. If you use the new app-based text, I read them now because they come to my phone now. Now I can read them. Someone from McGuanago says, I'm using the new app right now, exclamation point. Oh, and a couple of comments on CJ. First one, Clay is such a jerk off. The next one, CJ sounds like he's been crying a lot lately. And another, he can't actually respond to the question. That's the problem with CJ. He can't often respond to the question. 844-967-2789. Your questions, your comments, your hot takes right here. Connie from Madison, what do you got for us?
Hey, Connie.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, and I know Biden has age. He's 80. But Trump just turned 77, so he's not that much younger.
Right.
So at least Biden's been around in the Senate long enough, and he's been president and has gotten things done. And the only thing Donald Trump did was, you know, give out a big tax cut.
Well, many of his rich donors like that big tax cut, you know, trying to.
Oh, yeah, they love that tax cut.
Pay it forward and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Connie,
yeah.
I don't think Joe Biden gets enough credit for the good work he's done.
Oh.
I think
no,
when you compare
so either.
When you compare these two candidates, let's call them, because they're both running for the same office again, one
right.
under multiple indictment, the other from the White House, but Donald Trump is not exactly the most cogent guy of all time. He's like,
oh, no.
Man, woman, camera, television. You know what I mean, Connie? When you compare the actual statements made by these respective candidates, I got to tell you, I'm not really impressed with either one, but at least I believe Joe Biden's got a pulse in his heart. I don't know what drives Donald Trump other than love of Donald Trump.
That's
I think
pretty
that's
much it. Even Barr said so. Even, you know, some of his other people said that that's all he's got is for himself. Even his own daughter didn't send up a happy Father's Day.
Well, my kids didn't do much for me either. Is that a sign of a bad father? Because my one kid works at a Mexican restaurant, not the authentic kind, but, you know, the chain kind. And he said, Dad, mm-hmm. I'm feeling kind of broke. At 9 o'clock, he came home from his work shift with like a tin of steak fajita. And he's like, oh, no, I overpacked it. Happy Father's Day.
He could have made you a handmade card like he did when he was little.
They barely did it then. They barely did it then.
Oh, my. Okay, well, that's all I had to say.
Well, Connie.
All right. Thank you, Connie.
Thank
appreciate
you for
it.
Listening. You know, the moms get a hell of a lot more respect than the dads do.
Well, they've earned it.
The moms do earn it. They're better at the parenting for the most part, at least in my household.
They do all the hard lifting. You know, if men could have kids, there wouldn't be any.
Be our last generation, wouldn't it?
Right.
844-967-2789.
All right. So let's thank you, CJ, for the call. Not really to the point. I think the point is the timing. So, and I appreciate, and certainly, you know, you don't go lightly to investigate a former president, quote unquote. I get that. So you want to make sure and double check and dot all your I's and cross all your T's. Okay. But how many months does that take? How many times does there have to be something where some investigator is like, hey, we got this, or hey, we got that. No. Work our way up. So what did that really cost us? Well, it cost time, presumably, obviously time. And presumably it costs some evidence, you know, some of those text streams get deleted, memories fade, things happen. I mean, I couldn't tell you where I was 15 months ago. I'd have to look it up.
I'd tell you where you were. I was probably with
but I'm
you.
Pretty sure if I was involved in an attempted overthrow of the United States government, I might have an idea. I probably would want to try to forget that when the man comes around town. So I can appreciate that. But here's where we're at. Now this lands us right here, as everyone knows, in the beginnings of the election season. And by the time a trial comes and or a conviction, well, what when is that happening? So I withhold all my judgment because we have yet to see how this truly plays out timing-wise. And it could be, as one of the people in the article said, that, you know, history will look at this as a well-done operation, essentially, right? Well, I would only assume that if we're able to get an answer as to whether or not one of the two main front runners of the political parties here in the United States is going to run as a convicted felon prior to the election, prior to debates, perhaps, right? So that's going to be the tell. Now, and ultimately, the question will be, did that patience, did that caution, was it worth it? We don't have that answer yet.
We were embarrassed, is the quote in the headline. DOJ insiders told reporter they acted on January 6th only after House committee shamed them. Now, I've already seen some pushback on headlines of this sort on Twitter, some saying that the Department of Justice was already well into their investigatory mode And they just weren't doing so publicly. So we don't know all the timelines. They're not all public. But Sarah K. Burris, a little bit from the Post as well, the Washington Post, revealed the Department of Justice and the FBI were resistant, that's a nice word, to opening a probe into Donald Trump for January 6th for over a year. But reporter Carol Lenning told MSNBC on Monday they were finally shamed into acting when the House Select Committee launched an investigation into the insurrection. Lenning began by explaining that between her and her co-author, they interviewed more than 100 people, and many had assumed that the DOJ was already involved in the January 6th investigation. What her report revealed was that, at the time, it was not. She said the reluctance was because the FBI was afraid of Donald Trump because so many people had lost their jobs or careers because of the FBI's probe into Trump and the alleged Russia connections during the 2016 election. At the same time, she said, the DOJ was scared that if it went after the January 6th attack, it would appear as if it were going after the Republican Party because so many Republicans were involved. If your entire party is criminals, aren't you a street gang or something?
Well, I mean, if everyone's a criminal, then I guess they should all get investigated.
Now, Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco embraced the strategy of let's do it like a mob case, Lenning said. Build up from the riot. Figure out if there's somebody higher and higher and higher, and perhaps it will lead to those individuals around Donald Trump, perhaps not. Let the evidence lead us up the ladder. The problem is no ladder between militia members, the Oath Keepers, and the Proud Boys wearing flak jackets and bulletproof vests and carrying bear spray and emails to Mark Meadows or Donald Trump or Rudy Giuliani about convincing state officials to help them create fake electors to swing the election for Trump and away from Biden. As it started to emerge in the summer and especially the fall of 2022, still the DOJ sort of turned its eyes away from this until it became a drumbeat of criticism, news stories, some of them on this story and some of them in my paper, and a groundswell of concern that the January 6th committee was really without the same kind of power as the Department of Justice, uncovering stunning and worrisome and likely criminal acts, she continued. Now, host on MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, pointed to the important explanation she gave about the missing links between the militias and the White House. But it was also true that Trump committed crimes in plain sight, she said. Yes, we've known this. We've heard the tape from Georgia, right? He committed the crime of blocking an official proceeding. Even with the limits to their investigative powers, he committed the crimes of insurrection. I mean, there were criminal acts that were ignored. Lenning said that inside the Justice Department, there are a lot of prosecutors that were more disheartened than angry about January 6th going uninvestigated. She said that there were many at the DOJ that were pressing to investigate the false elector scandal. It was even referred to the DOJ by the Attorney General of Michigan, your girl Dana Nusseldom. Still, the DOJ took a full year and 4 months before it acted.
Ugh.
I think that another really important thing, Nicole, which you have really zeroed in on over and over again, is the January 6th committee's work. The Department of Justice had said to us in different ways, this committee didn't influence us at all. Except when you interview people who were right in the thick of it, they said, look, we were embarrassed and goaded into it. It was the work of the January 6th committee that made it impossible for the DOJ to justify its bottom-up strategy, she said. 844-967-2789. Now, I have seen other headlines, tweets primarily, pushing back on that sort of a headline. They're claiming, the tweetbacks, well, you know, the Department of Justice investigating outside of your purview. But if they've done 100 interviews, it's hard to question the comprehensiveness of the reporting at the Post. I'm going to call them the ones with the true insights until I hear it differently from the authors of this piece. 844-967-2789. Pizza Box Mike, also a civic media host, Friday night, 7 o'clock, right here outside the Pizza Box. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, Mike.
Not bad, but Man, it sounds like CJ needs some OJ instead of vodka and Trump orange. Oh, hey, it's not about that. You know, yeah, sure, it's kind of funny, you know, and you hold your breath every time you see Biden have to step over grass that's, like, taller than 3 inches. But it's not necessarily about that as it is we need somebody further left of Biden. And I don't know, I'm a little excited. Did you guys hear that somebody is kind of, like, making a move from the left to maybe take a run at in the primary?
Are we talking about Cornel West, or who are you talking about, Michael?
Ooh, man, if Cornel West gets in, that's really going to heat it up. I like it because you got, you know,
Cornel West may get in. Cornel West, who actually was a guest lecturer at UW and has some local ties here in Wisconsin, we met Cornel West actually with Jill Stein, of all people.
He was at Fighting Bob in Madison.
He was, and he's talking about running as a Green Party candidate, Michael. That would be very troubling for the future of the Biden presidency.
Well, it'd be troubling for probably the whole country because people aren't smart enough to jump on to anything green. They like, you know, I guess smoke haze from Canada. I don't know. But also, you remember I said somebody should run, and it looks like Gavin Newsom's starting to make some noise, too.
No, yeah, Gavin Newsom campaigned with Biden today in California. He was standing by his man.
There you go. Well, that maybe that $600 million for climate change had something to do with that trip today. I guess that's what it was to solid that up. Maybe they were both playing me, huh?
Well, Gavin Newsom, I think, is the future betrothed of the Democratic Party, this party that so wants to fall in love with their presidential candidates. Gavin Newsom's got all the qualities, chief executive of a really big economy in a really big state. He's a handsome guy. He says all the right stuff. He's, I believe, a lawyer by trade. So he's got all the qualifications, and I think he will be the probable front runner if he jumps in 2028. But in the meantime, he's got Joe Biden's back.
Pizza Box, if Cornel West runs as, you know, third party, People's Party or Green Party, whatever the case may be, where would you fall on that? Would you vote for someone like that, or would you stay with Joe Biden and the Dem Party?
Oh, I'll get blamed just like when I supported Bernie over Hillary. You bet, man. I'm thinking about the future, not about, you know, moderation and all that.
But a
stuff.
Ross Perot third party candidacy could toss the election, maybe not to Donald Trump, but certainly to a Ron DeSantis, Mike. Let's not forget the example of the state of Wisconsin. Jill Stein got 36,000 votes in the state of Wisconsin in the 2016 elective cycle. And if you'll recall, Hillary Clinton lost the state of Wisconsin by 21,000 votes. I mean, the margin of loss was much smaller than the number of voters that the Green candidate of the time, Jill Stein, peeled off. And oddly, we saw Jill Stein and Cornel West in a restaurant in Washington, D.C. that night. He might run, Pizza Box. Come back with us. Poor Devil's Advocates. One last segment for your hot takes. 844-967-2789. I am worried about a third-party run. Third-party run could have disastrous impact for the Democratic nominee. Let's call him Joe Biden. Come back, more Devils.
Ensure yourself a brighter future with help from insurance agent Stephanie Morales. Stephanie's passion is educating families on affordable, sufficient coverage, along with using your insurance for emergencies to major purchases while you're alive. Book a free insurance consultation with Stephanie Morales today at stephaniemorales.net or call 414-791-0124. That's 414-791-0124. Call today to begin that brighter future. Stephanie Morales Insurance, creating a legacy.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies tonight with lows around 56. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 83. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 60. Dry with temperatures near average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 81 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. Make sure you stick around. Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. She's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. You can join us now, 844-967-2789.
Dom, we've got an update from the shooting at the Juneteenth celebration in Milwaukee. It's now being acknowledged. There will be a press briefing. Multiple people were shot Monday afternoon around where Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration had been held earlier. According to the Milwaukee Police Department, the shooting happened directly outside Greater Philadelphia Church of God in Christ, North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, according to a Facebook Live video taken by a bystander in the aftermath of the shooting. The incident, which took place near the intersection of West Locust Street, was called in at 4:21 p.m. In an email, Milwaukee police said they would be holding a media briefing regarding multiple people being shot. More information will be released at that time, according to Milwaukee police. And there were thousands gathered earlier today, Dom. The Juneteenth, the events, 9 to 4 p.m. The shooting occurred right around 4:20.
Terrible.
Multiple people shot, according to Milwaukee police. They will update us. I'm sure we'll have updates right here on the Civic Media Network. We'll update you when we can. And we'll take your calls right now, at least if you're dialing, at 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack. Welcome back, Jack. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm all in favor of crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's when you charge people. He had high political office. But waiting years and years and years has had this really damaging effect on our democracy. First of all, an insurrectionist party has taken over one of our houses in Congress, the House of Representatives. And secondly, there are at least three people from Wisconsin in high political office who should be charged. They should not be eligible for any political office by the 14th Amendment.
Jack, name names. That's what we do here. Who do you think, which Wisconsin electeds do you think are criminally involved?
I'm going to start out with Derek Van Orden, who was shown by video to have breached the Capitol on January 6th.
I'm not clear that that's entirely true. He was on the Capitol grounds, but I don't know that he breached the interior of the building. Or he's probably more likely to be in prison or at least jail than in the U.S. Congress. But he has been convicted of other crimes like bringing a handgun on a flight back from Cedar Rapids. But that's a different case for a different lawyer.
Okay. The second one I will say is pretty obvious. And he even admitted it on you, I believe, you've played clips of him admitting it. And that is, of course, Ron Johnson, who was clearly involved in a conspiracy, because that means at least two people, to overthrow the election by promoting false electors to the vice president, and he admitted that.
No one's arguing against the opinion that Ron Johnson's up to his albino eyebrows.
It was just a couple of seconds, couple of minutes, less than an hour. It wasn't a whole lot of time, Jack. I mean, how much time does it take to get blood on your hands, do you think?
One shot. Anyway, the third one is, of course, Bob Spindell, who shouldn't be involved in anything political in Wisconsin because he was one of those that tried to represent himself as an elector, and of course signed the papers, and that's a fraud. That's an election fraud. So yes, cross the T's, dot the I's, but get some of these people, and if you wait too darn long, they're going to be in pretty much unassailable positions, which is sort of what's happened.
Well, and that's, of course, obviously unacceptable, Jack, and that's what the delay has cost us, man. And, you know, and thanks for the call, man. I certainly appreciate you listening. You can call 844-967-2789. Of course, Bob Spindell, Wisconsin Election Commissioner, ironically enough, also a fraudulent elector, and he's walking around talking trash about how excited they were that their GOP operation suppressed votes in the city of Milwaukee.
Well, that's just black and Latino votes, Dom.
Oh, okay. That's hell of a job there. So, and there's lots of other folks as well, Jack. And I guess I'm not surprised that they took them a little while. I am surprised it took them that long.
All's well that ends with Trump in jail.
Ultimately, we'll see what happens, right? But now what I don't want, especially now that we've come to the understanding that this whole weaponization, much like a lot of the talking points of the MAGAs and the fascists, is not accurate. And as reported today in the Washington Post, they were, if anything, overly cautious, political on the other way to not appear political. They were so political, which does not bode, I don't think, confidence. If you want to get confidence of the American people, you go after people who break the law, regardless of who they are, how much money they have, the color of their skin, their political ideology, all of that thing. You shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, you should be arrested and tried, period. You shouldn't, if Donald Trump shot someone on Fifth Avenue, I wouldn't expect the DOJ to sit on their hands for 16 months before they decided to go, oh, well, maybe we should do something. So, you know, now we're stuck with the timing. But if we understand, and I know the MAGAs never will, that this is not political, then you can't stop any sort of prosecution because of an election. That's not the case. So full forward, man. I hope within the next couple of weeks, January 6th charges come down from D.C. from Jack Smith. Maybe some additional documents, you know, espionage charges from New Jersey. And Fannie Willis in Fulton County, Georgia, she, you know, getting around the corner to beginning of August, late July, early August. That's going to come down. So let's keep this thing going and line them up and knock them down, but get them done before the election so people know. If you do that, then all is forgiven. And notice I'm not saying he's got to be guilty. Just get the trials done. We know he's guilty, but you got to give the people a chance. That's how you get confidence of the DOJ back. Do your job.
Do you think the MAGA, the greater Republican Party, which we've talked about often, Dom, has kind of turned towards MAGA, turned towards Trump, sort of at the defiance of all logic? Do you think the fever will break at some point? Do you think the Republicans abandon the man and just say, you know what, he's a little too toxic even for us?
I do think so. As the heat continues to get turned up and as we get closer, absolutely. We played a montage Evan pulled together last week of a bunch of Republicans going after Donald Trump. They're, you know, and all the testimony, these aren't communist socialist Bernie Sanders. These are all people in Trump's circle that are testifying honestly under oath about Trump's behavior. This is mega world on mega. So look at yourself. Don't look at us.
Stick around. We've got the Maggie Dawn Show. We've got the Paul Revere Show with attorney Mark Thompson. And we've got Rick Smith.
When
when it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.